Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Above the Bar podcast, a show about a middle-aged father, current events, and how these things affect my everyday life. Alrighty, folks, welcome to another episode of the Above the Bar podcast. Hopefully you all can hear me. There we go. My own mic was turned down. I didn't even realize what I had done to myself here. So, folks, welcome to another episode of the Above the Bar podcast here. It's your host, Sean. We're getting ready. Hopefully here shortly we will have our special guest, Mr. Lloyd Kaufman of Troma Films, will be joining us here shortly. Verified all that, so we're looking forward to him coming on. But while we're waiting on Lloyd, we'll do all our housekeeping stuff here. As we all know, first things first, behind my head, as always, we got our sticker and a cause board. So if you've got a cause, you got something that you're supporting, make sure you take and send me a sticker. I'll talk about it on the show. I'll let everybody know about it. We'll get into that and tell everybody about whatever you're believing in. I know our big super fan, Jeanette, recently had her show with some of her artwork. We'll have to get Jeanette to send us make a sticker or something like that for the show. She's quite the talent, which is something I don't have with anything other than running my face. So we'll have to see if we can get Jeanette to send us something. The other thing we got to do there, folks, is as always, like and share. We're going to go ahead and share away this show to all those yard sale sites that you belong to and you buy stuff that you don't need, or somebody sends you a message that says, hey, you want to buy my bicycle? It's only been ridden once. All the tires are flat. That's got rust holes in it. But you know what? You can absolutely buy this thing for like $400 or $500. You know, you tell me. We all know that's all those sites are good for anymore, is overpricing everything that none of us actually want. So make sure you take a few minutes right now. Go on your phones. Like and share away this to all those different sites so that everyone can be take a moment and look at it. They may be Troma Film fans and not even know it. I wonder how many of y'all out there that are watching right now have actually watched a Troma film or knew you watched a Troma film. If you were a child of the 80s and 90s, we were definitely watching Up All Night with Rhonda. You're welcome, Jeanette. Absolutely. We were watching Up All Night with Rhonda, which had a bunch of Troma films. And if you've been with me since the early days of the show, this is actually episode 64, if you didn't know that. We actually had Jeffrey Sass on, who worked for Troma Films also. And Jeffrey was the one who got Troma Films involved with Up All Night with Rhonda on the USA channel. And involved with Toxie. If you didn't know Toxie, that was the movie, The Toxic Avenger, which Troma Films produced, and they turned it into a kid show. And if you've ever watched the original 1984 version of that movie, there is nothing kid show movie about that at all. Like nothing. I've told the story before. My first time that I watched it, didn't understand the scene where the one New Jersey gangster mobster from Tromaville walks into the mom walks in. Yeah, Andrew's on with us, walks in and she's got the kid's like pants or something like that. She's like, I don't know what this stain is. And I remember thinking like, yeah, he must've got glue on his pants. It's, you know, what do I know? I don't know nothing about this. Years later, watching it, he had left some babies on that pair of pants. I had no idea that that's what that was. So, but we're going to have Mr. Lloyd Kaufman is going to join us. He is the father of Troma. He started it with another gentleman, Mark. They've been going at it since 1974 with Troma Films. They've got over 1,000 films that they've either distributed or produced or created. like I said, some of them just have great classic titles. They did the original Mother's Day movie, and then he did one called Father's Day. And then there's years later that Troma did some of the best titles. You have all the Nukem Highs or Troma, if you remember Nukem High, Toxic Avenger, obviously all those movies. Then there was other ones that were out there that they did. Surf Ninjas Must Die, like just amazing titles. Killer Condom, that was a movie from Troma Films. So plenty of different movies, plenty of different things that they did for years and years and years, and definitely worth it for you to take a moment and check them out. So as we're waiting here, do a little bit of housekeeping as always. Next week, if you're around, if you remember our master collector that we had on back in, gosh, it's been a few months now that I think about it, but we're going to have Doug Dreyer back on next week. Doug's going to come on. We're going to talk about collecting, different types of collecting that he's done. Then next week, the bar is packed. The bar is packed next week, folks. After Doug, we can turn around and we've got the ladies are actually, we're going to have our first ever live in the studio appearance. All the ladies, Amanda Love, Frida Munch on, I think Cammy's going to be there. They're all going to be here live in the studio. If you're in the Albany area, they are doing a show on August 14th. So they're going to come out. We're going to do a live show, talk to them, see what's going on, see what the show will be about. I'm going to assume that at some point it will just turn into a hot mess. It should be pretty doggone interesting. We also, if you were around and you saw the International Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame show that we did, we have coming on that day, we have Mr. Dave, what is Dave's last name? I got to think for a minute, folks. Dave Dwindle, who was a professional wrestling referee back in the days when they still had different sections and areas, and it was, you know, WWF was in the Northeast, this, you know, down in the Carolinas or down in Georgia was all TNA or whoever it was. So he's going to come on and he's going to tell us some stories, because coming up at the end of August, we have the inductions into the International Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. So he's going to come on. So next week, as I said, the bar is packed to the gills. Just waiting here again. Like I said, we're going to, if you got any questions, anything you want to throw out, because we're just waiting at this point for Mr. Lloyd Kaufman. He's going to jump on here shortly, see what's going on. Let's see here. We could sing a song. This does not make for great live action or podcasting, me just sitting here twiddling around. But hopefully in a moment here, he'll be jumping on with us. Let's see, for those of you that are out there watching, have any of you actually watched a Troma film or know what Troma films are? Anyone? Bueller? What's going on? Having trouble streaming to Facebook. I don't know what. Why is my always something here with StreamYard here lately? Not sure what is going on. Let's see if we can fix this. As we're playing around here, trying to figure out what's going on, why Facebook is telling me they're having issues with streaming. I have no idea. They are a hot mess over there. Facebook stream is down. Yep, Patrick, I just saw that. It looks though the list of movies and heard of them, but never seen them. All right, Patrick, I got to see what's going on here. Oh, well, while we're waiting here, we what are you doing?
Shrapnel in me from cutting up that copper.
So while we're waiting on Lloyd here, folks, Keith jumped on with us. I wanted Keith to get a moment to jump on with us and get an opportunity to talk to us about what he's got going on. He's got a new podcast. It's pretty impressive. It's him and Paul Uber. Isn't that, what is Paul's last name? Uber?
Ober. It's like Ober. In front of it.
All right. So his buddy Paul, I'm removing. So tell everybody about your podcast while we're doing this. I've got to remove something like a tumor. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do here.
to put that like, right out of the life.
I don't. All right. Tell them about your podcast.
It's called Cross Examination. We do it live on the Stereo app, which most you've probably never heard of because you have real lives that you actually have things to do during the day and, you know, things to take care of, responsibilities, people that count on you, you know, maybe to feed them, stuff like that. I don't. You know, I've, you know, not had any kids or anything like that and made sure they have no dependents. So I can do this stuff. Cross Examination, we interview random people or people that we, like, pick during the week before sometimes, like people that we know. We've had a bunch of comedians on there so far, and we just berate them and barrage them with the most random, like, off-the-wall questions you can imagine. Like, you know, what would be a good one? Example, Paul. I mean,
well, example would be today with the random word generator.
That was good. Yeah, I like that.
So what that was, folks, is Keith and Paul took five just random words from this website called randomwordgenerator.com and had to – what was it?
Shout out to our hopeful sponsor.
Yeah, right. Just because you said their name does not make them a sponsor. So he jumps on there with them, and they just create a story. The best part of it was Keith's version of a story sounded like when Eminem raps a word that can't actually be rhymed with, like orange. And he's taking words and like breaking them into as many segments as he possibly could to make another phrase.
4-inch door hinge.
Oh, yeah, like oh, for a skin of the man who was like, it was just the most random ass shit that I've ever seen.
I love it. I mean, I was having a panic that whole episode, and you know, that's where you get good radio from.
Well, I'll tell you, go check them out. It's called, the show's called Cross Examination. I can't find it on iTunes, but Keith swears to me it's out there. Every time I look, I can't find it. I tell him to send me a link to it, and it's like, dude, that there's no link there. Nothing whatsoever.
To all of you fortunate Android users out there, we are on Spotify and the other lesser platforms.
the lesser platforms.
No, we're on everything, though. I made sure of that.
Apparently. So what's that?
You guessed a little bit late.
A little bit late, but I mean, he's like, unlike you and me, he's like a legit celebrity.
I mean,
yeah. I mean, we're
a lot probably, but
you know, I'm sending out an email here real quick, making sure he's all right. He was popping champagne bottles on yesterday on Instagram, so I don't, you know, could still be popping bottles.
I'll start with straight shots and then pop bottles.
What?
Oh, a rap song from eighth grade came back to my mind and left just as fast as it came.
But listen, yeah, here. What's like, that?
Like, whenever I was talking to you, I was like he's late. I was like, thinking you're starting to sound like me. I'm like, where's my fucking face?
Well, that's, so anyone who knows me knows I have ripping anxiety that I don't have a choice in the matter. It is my anxiety. And I will absolutely, like you could be 2 minutes late and I think you hate me now. The world is coming to an end. I don't know what's going on. Did I say something wrong? Did I do something wrong? Did you see something that I did that was meant to be good and now it's bad? I don't know, but I did wear my nice shirt. Look at my shirt.
That is definitely Burr inspired.
I mean, this is,
it's been, I mean, this, and metal shavings.
Look, wait, there's my, look at Jeanette's got a name for you and everything.
Oh, Kentucky Keith. Oh, I'm like a Kentucky Ken doll, buddy.
You're right. But we get into, Keith was asked today also what inanimate object he thought he was. Bird. That his words were bird. His partner thought he said bird, and then he like completely baffled him with bullshit and changed it into burr, and the guy bought it. I'm like, what? How is this even possible that you baffled him with that much bullshit and turned it into burr?
I believe that it's funny that it's easier to believe that I don't believe that birds are animate objects than it was
Somebody else said that recently where they were like, there are no birds. They're all dead. They're actually just drones.
Yep.
Like, that's a new conspiracy theory that I heard.
I'm working on my Chinese. I'm brushing up on it already.
Well, I thought it was interesting. Have you been watching the Olympics at all?
No.
Well, I mean, anybody who could run, jump, or swim in Kentucky has already left that state.
Oh, it's kind of like, well, Mexico doesn't
have that. No, that's not why. Why you don't go there.
No, they're fine. They like it.
They like it.
I wasn't going to get you canceled.
God, your cancel culture is going to come find me for Keith. But I was watching it today, and I was very surprised. Like, I didn't think Japan had, like, I thought they were like, just hosting, but they're actually like kicking ass in the Olympics. They have like the number two most medals is Japan. They're like number two or number three. It's like us, China, and Japan.
Like, Pearl Harbor, we remember.
Yeah, look, that's a whole nother subject. If you ever get a hold of like Marines who have been to Pearl Harbor and they go there, and I have a very, very good friend that told me this story. Went to Pearl Harbor to see, well, Jeanette, I need updates on the Olympics. Jeanette's watching the Olympics for us, so I need updates. So he went to Pearl Harbor. He's a Marine stationed over there in Hawaii. And he was like going to see the Pearl Harbor Memorial and having tourists there from over in Japan. And like he said, he got physically upset by seeing them like there. And I was like, you know, you got to kind of move beyond that. You know, they.
Yeah, it's like you got to separate certain things from certain people, like, you know, famous people, like, separate the work from the person if they've done something bad. Like, it's not, you know, on a whole group of people. But I can understand it, especially being in armed forces and having that military.
He got, like, physically upset. He was like, man, I was so mad seeing them there. He's like, could you imagine if I went to Hiroshima or Nagasaki? And I'm thinking, we do it. Like, we do it. Like, American tourists are the worst. We're the worst tourists. We will go to significant religious places for other faiths overseas, and they're beautiful structures, beautiful buildings. In like, let me throw up gang signs in flip flops and a Hawaiian shirt in front of this and just show no respect for this pilgrimage that you made for like 10 days crawling on your hands and knees to get here to like Our Lady of Guadalupe or something like that, and you just showed no respect, and you're like driving up in a Jeep like, look, honey, this is amazing.
Can you believe it? They don't speak English here. What? They will.
How on God's green earth are they going to get anything done here? They don't even speak out English.
My goodness. It's like cruise ship people. They want to go and see the culture but not interact with it.
Well, have you ever done a cruise?
No, I don't.
So if you ever get a chance, cruises are amazing. I enjoyed it. But they also are like one of these weird places where when you're on the cruise and you get off in like a port, they have everywhere for you to like interact with the country's culture fenced off.
Oh, yeah. It's like these are designated cultural areas.
Right. Like ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be your cultural area for Jamaica. Please make sure you don't cross the fence line. We're not welcome here for your safety. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, please stay behind the fence.
Well, tour buses are even the worst version of that. We have tour buses that come through here all the time.
Like, what does it say? Like, don't feed the meth addict?
No, I was like, we want to see the gym of the mountains, Loretta Lynn's home place. I'm like, you have 11 active meth labs on your way here. Do you feel safe?
Well, that's a funny one. So, you know, for those who don't realize it, Keith comes from like this hometown of like seven people, and three of them are famous: him, Loretta Lynn, and Tyler Childers.
Oh, and, we got Chris Stapleton too.
Oh, and Chris Stapleton. So there's seven people in the whole town and four of them are famous. Three of them are musicians. I don't understand it at all.
Wildly disproportionate.
Like per capita, that you're doing pretty good.
I mean, yeah, I have.
And you had a documentary made about your town.
Huh?
Didn't you say you had a documentary made about your town?
Yeah, it's called Children of the Mountains, where Barbara Walters takes a big Barbara Walters dump all over every aspect of Appalachian culture and our town. It's amazing television, riveting, infuriating, but riveting.
Rob, we're actually breaking into a little Maker's Mark Kentucky Straight Bourbon, and it's called Proof Number 46 tonight.
The proof's in the pouring, buddy. Cheers. Well,
cheers. That's what we're breaking into tonight. As always, I got to try my different bourbons. I still like the Heaven's Hill, but you told me like Heaven's Hill is like cheap bourbon where you live.
Cheap vodka, I know that.
Like I've never even heard of their vodka. And Rob wants to know, not that he's ever going to leave Troy and travel anywhere, but he wants to know where in Kentucky you live.
Eastern Kentucky, a little small town, a little small. Okay. Paintsville. I was going to say, I just say Lexington most of the time, so it's a place actually people will know.
So now here becomes the great question. Is the grass blue in Kentucky?
Sean.
Is the grass blue?
I'm colorblind, Sean. How dare you?
Are you colorblind? Why the fuck were you playing with... And you were playing with wires for a microwave.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, God. Famous last words.
Well, hey, watch this. Hillbilly's dying words.
So, wait a sec. So, has anyone ever told you if the grass is blue in Kentucky?
I've asked a lot of people actually if they've seen the bluegrass. It's supposed to be actually just a way that the sun seems to refract off of the sun, like a certain type of grass in the field. But blue moon, bluegrass, all this stuff. But I feel like I'm just missing out in colorblind stuff. It's BS, is what it is.
We got to get you those. Have you seen those glasses that like help people see colors?
Do you mean the glasses that make grown men cry when they put them on?
Yeah, yes. I so want to buy you a pair now, and I want to see if you cry.
My girlfriend said, here, I want to get this for you. Maybe you'll be happier. I was like, that is the sweetest, saddest thing.
I want to buy you these glasses to see if it'll make you a better person. Because you're a horrible human at this point, but these glasses might make you a better person.
These glasses might at least add some color to your character.
Well, Jeanette, or Rob said he was stationed at Fort Knox. He was in the Army. We won't hold that against him.
Cool, hard Fort Knox. Is there really any gold there? I don't think there is.
I don't. Well, that's the big. That's one of those big theories. Where's Anthony when you need him? He could probably tell me. He knows all the conspiracy theories and where everything is actually at. But is there gold in Fort Knox? I know I've watched the videos where like they put it there, but some people say it was never really. There, it was all a ruse from the Jump Street to hide the aliens.
Yeah, sometimes I think that, you know, the Roswell, New Mexico incident was the aliens coming back to see their Native American friends and saw what we did, and they were like, oh, shit, and wrecked. And we have Roswell.
Jeanette is right. Anthony would know about the bird drones also. Where are you, Anthony? We need to know these things. He would know these things. But see, you know what? You bring up a great point, because we're also going to find... Jeanette, here's something for you, Jeanette. While you're waiting and you're going between things and listening to this riveting conversation between Keith and I, that my wife normally says, are you talking to your friend in Kentucky again? Yes. Yes, I am.
Yeah, and I'm laughing. Is that what gave it away?
Was it the giggling like a couple of schoolgirls? Yes, that's what we're doing right now. Like a couple of idiots. What's funny, if you really want to get your mind blown, because Jeanette, I always have to bring as much American culture to you as I possibly can. Take a moment and look up Kentucky Blue People.
The Fugits.
The Fugits. Look up Kentucky Blue People. That would change your outlook on so many things.
What was it I said on the last episode that you had me on? It's like, we don't just have thoroughbred horses. We're so thoroughly inbred, we have blue people.
Yes, you got to look up the fugates. That's actually where all that stuff comes from about hillbillies and incest and all that. It's the fugates. That's crazy though, if you really think about it. That's one family with one genetic defect that launched an entire cultural crash down on the Appalachians.
I don't know if it was necessarily them. I think it's the groups that probably don't have names. You know, the ones that you can't point at, the people, the clans are still living out in the woods. They're here.
Oh, look. My mother's side of the family they have family up on Roan Mountain. Where you don't go up on Roan Mountain in outside of East Tennessee unless you're from Roan Mountain.
You're in the wrong place.
And I don't know how recently it was, but I know in my lifetime they got electricity.
Oh shit. Like the
wow. Oh yeah.
Magic then.
Yeah. But I had an uncle, so you'll appreciate this, Keith. We'll tell stories.
To watch this, you're stupid. You're a bad person. All right, go ahead.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that. So you'll appreciate this one though. So this is how country some of those folks are. So I, at age 16, I went and there's a part of this I'll tell you after the story, because I can't even tell this one on air because ain't nobody, I'm not having helicopters over my house and people kicking in my door. So I was with an uncle who has long since passed away, and we were up on Roan Mountain and he was visiting a friend, and we're up there and the guy had shine, real shine, not the stuff you see on TV, not the stuff you see in the stores, you know, and pure grain. Look at me, pure grain is moonshine. Whether you like it or not, it's just mass produced moonshine. It's corn liquor. That's how. I don't know. Wonder if I could send you a bottle of this. I should send you a bottle of this, Keith.
You absolutely can.
That is Nanny's hot apple pie right there.
That's what?
Like Nanny's hot apple pie. Oh, Nanny's. So you can't really tell. It's got in the base of it, there is a cinnamon stick. And that has been
thick. You know?
There's apple juice and cinnamon stick. But so we're up on there, and this guy had a still. And he like passed us a bottle. I was like 14 years old at the time, but I still remember the guy being like telling me how important the water was to the still.
Well, that's a lot like Jack Daniels. They've been using, or I think it's Jack Daniels. One of them has been using a specific spring for the entirety of their like production, and they won't use any other kind. I'm like, you guys are just making this more complicated than you need to. You know that, right? Water is water.
Right. I just want you all to know that we were not allowed to be posted on the Albany, New York online garage sale because we were told this goes against the group rules. This group is for sales only. She doesn't know you, Keith. This woman doesn't know you. I should have to go back and tell her Keith is for sale.
Right. I mean, at least my dignity. Listen, I mean, I don't know how much of it's left. But I mean, I can dig up some. I can manufacture it if you need. I mean, I do that with Sandy
all the time. Oh, Keith, are you watching this one on your? Are we doing this from your phone, Keith?
Yeah.
Okay. When you have a moment, obviously you may not be able to see this, but this is.
Now that's just cool. You can't tease me.
I can't see. I don't even know how to. I just want you to see that. That is an example of when you give somebody too much power.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I can imagine an extrapolation
Great. That is so great. Oh, I want you to see that. Take a moment, Keith. We'll go ahead and for this moment while we wait for Keith. If anyone wants, Keith's going to go look at this picture that I just sent him. I cannot share. Rob, maybe I'll send it to you later. Jeanette, we'll talk about it next week at the Jeanette and I finally get to meet face to face, folks. For those of you who didn't know it, I've known Jeanette now for almost a year. We've never met face to face. We've been on more networking things and we know what to talk about. And we finally are going to get a chance to meet face to face. So did you?
what is it that what they called him? Wim.
I don't know. Just keep it to yourself.
What is that woman's name? They call him all the time. I can't.
I don't know. But that was so. Do what?
It just makes sense to me. This Karen. That's it. That's the name.
Yes.
That
it was just I had to send that one to you because
play a little bit of power and they just take drink after drink of it and they just get drunk on it.
You have control of the yard sale site. That is so glorious. You have control of the yard sale site.
Make sure you run a tight ship.
Hey, make sure nobody not getting past me on this yard sale site. You hear me there, pal? This shit's important.
I'll never lost a customer there, Miss Wickham.
Oh, it's so great. That was just glorious. That one made me laugh. Oh, man. So what else we got? Have you figured out, can you leave the state of Kentucky yet, Keith?
I don't know if I can leave the county. State.
Wait a second. What are you doing? Are you doing Pilates?
No. Exercise?
Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're all stretched out.
Yeah, but you've never had this on the show.
Would it be wrong to say, can we do an episode of Cribs for your place right now?
There's Burt Reynolds. Yeah, I look like I'm inside of an old woman's purse right now with this couch.
And that is, so for those of you that, Kitty says you're getting comfortable. For those of you that can't see it, Keith's got on his gym shorts from 2001, a t-shirt that he got out of a pack of cigarettes. And the couch, it looks like somebody's grandmother put on the side of the road after she passed away.
You know that you'll find a Werther's original in here.
There's no doubt about it. There is an unopened Werther's original underneath of that couch and tears of despair soaked into it.
Four failed marriages on this couch right now.
Four failed marriages. This couch alone. That's so glorious.
Up like her last name.
Oh, that's so great. Oh, that there was no merit in that. There's none. Have no doubt about it.
Home.
So at this point, folks, if you're hanging on with us, this show is purely for me, Keith, Jeanette, and Rob, who are hanging on and watching right now, having a good time. So what else we got going on, brother, man? I mean, you and I haven't had a good long chat in a while. Keith was banned from Instagram for a while. He wasn't allowed to use hashtags, which is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. It's like when your parents take the controllers away for the video game system. Like, you could turn it on, you can look at it, but but you have no controllers.
Like, yeah, I post stuff, but with no context to it whatsoever. Can't caption it, can't hashtag it. And then I was like, I made a video making fun of myself because I was like, oh no, well, I can't like hashtag or caption anything. That means that only 4,000 people that follow me will see it. Woe is me.
Well, I hashtagged it for you.
I know, I appreciate that.
Well, that's what that works.
Is it?
Yeah, so all right, we'll get into some geekdom here for hashtags for a moment. Keith is way better at like figuring out which ones are the right ones. But you can absolutely, in your topic, hashtag something and it still runs through it. So you could actually, like, you could post something and if you didn't want to have a bunch of hashtags underneath of it, you can go into the comments and then hashtag into the comments and do the same thing.
For a little bit of money, I'll be your social media strategist.
Did I tell you somebody tried to come out to me and ask me for money for that?
Yeah, that's how I got Action Block. Somebody took it upon themselves to do it first as a sales pitch. They sent 5,000 to one of my videos, and I'm like, what the fuck? What is this?
Oh, you had nothing to do with it?
No. That's why I'm I feel like I'm silly because I'm an adult and I'm over here like, I feel like R. Kelly, except I'm a good person. Like, I'm fighting for my life out here, you know? I need people to be able to see my stuff so I can eat. Look at me, I'm skinny, Sean.
Wait a sec, R. Kelly. What do you think about R. Kelly going to jail now for two boys?
About 20 years too late.
But do you think that's legit, though, the boys?
Absolutely. I don't care if it's legit or not. Let's get him for something. I don't care if it's time to organize crime. I mean, he's up to his... He's been...
Well, he's like the celebrity version of Nexum.
What? The heartburn medicine?
No, Nexus or Nexum, whatever it is. That's here in Albany. That's the one with the girl from the blonde hair girl from Smallville got involved in.
Oh, yeah, the hot one.
Dude, that's like right down the street from us.
That's awesome.
Yeah, very odd. Like when it first started coming out, I was like, that's here.
Allison Hannigan?
Yes, Allison Hannigan, you nerd. Yeah, that was all. That was all like right here in the Albany area.
Well, you guys got sex cults. We got incest people. I mean, we all the same.
Yeah, we have sex cults and you have incest cults. It's the same thing. It's just called Thanksgiving dinner.
People trying to, you know.
Well, it's the wildest thing that it happened here. And it's always like, it feels like it's been going on for so long. Like every couple of weeks, there's something that pops up on the news. Like, hey, this is happening. Hey, this is happening with that.
It's like, I guess where that Children of the Mountains documentary happened here, I feel like it was deal than it was, but it was just another episode of 60 Minutes. So,
do you ever feel like with those kind of things, though, when they come to your community, it's
taking advantage of?
No, but like people end up. Actually, like, so people end up becoming more like the documentary or the thing that came on TV.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jeanette, you are so absolutely right. She is 100% correct. Jeanette just commented, for some reason, Keith reminds her of Stephen Merchant, Ricky Gervais's sidekick, because I love the travel show that they did where they sent the other guy around the world, all those different locations. And then in season two, they sent him with the guy from Willow, the little person, around the world. And it was amazing. You are so right, Jeanette. But do you ever feel that way?
Yeah. Like, I mean, a lot of people really lean into their like Southern accent sometimes just to put on a show. Like, it's really gotten romanticized a lot, and I just, being ignorant of shit is just not one thing I can really.
Right. Well, I told you I watched that other documentary, and I'm always mind boggled by how we treat Southern culture like somehow it's just this ignorant ass culture, and they're all dumb.
Of how we treat people with a British accent. If someone comes to you, told me, "Oh, hey, mate, yeah, like plus 15."
Instantaneously, you're obviously smarter than I am. You have an English accent.
Well, I have all kinds of accents, you know.
Unless it's a Cockney accent.
Cockney accent, you say? What are you talking about?
Which, at that point, you just feel like he might be willing to fight you in a weird stance.
I will fight anyone for money.
Yeah, but these are great points. But because, see, I always say this about growing up in Baltimore. I mean, it's not, look, where I grew up was a perfectly fine blue-collar neighborhood. We had troubles. We had issues, this, that, and the other. But I've always said that whenever, huh?
Water.
Water. Yeah, it's water. I can't say it any other way. That shit's water. You know, it's one of those words. But I always have said that when those shows like The Wire or The Corner or Homicide: Life on the Streets, even the show The Rock, it was a sitcom. When those all came out and they always showed like this horrible, gritty, nasty, like just this idea of the city being like this horrible place that why would you ever want to go there kind of outlook. I was always like,
portrays it like New Orleans.
Right. Like, yeah. But New Orleans is a perfect example. So New Orleans, one of the most corrupt cities in the country, their politicians got their hands in everything. And anytime you watch something, it's like a little bit of bad, and then some voodoo man comes along and fixes it. Look, distract. Ooh, look, it's in my hands. Not really. But like, what's that?
I was like, here's a professional sports team to watch now.
Right. Like, New Orleans always is that city. Like, you are a gritty, grimy-ass city. And that's all good. But for some reason, they get a pass on every show because you've partied in that city and you've drank in that city, so it can't really be that bad.
If there is any place in this world where I have a chance that I could break the law and actually be arrested by Steven Seagal, there's no place.
Is he still in hiding in Russia right now?
I feel like he would pop it above a certain altitude.
Well, dude, no, like, Putin is like this monstrous fan of Steven Seagal. You know that, right?
He would be. I can see that. Absolutely.
Look, he dresses like Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal dresses like Vladimir Putin. Disputedly, probably.
Hold on. World. Hold on. Vladimir Putin dresses like Steven Seagal. It's not the other way around. Jeanette says Seagal runs funny. This is true. He's the he was part of the whole Me Too movement. Did you see that?
What was he?
Oh, he was accused of all kinds of stuff.
Oh, like instead of like appropriating, like for, you know, cultures, like he's
he got hit up for, he would invite female starlets back to his house or apartment or whatever they were shooting at and tell them that, you know, they had to disrobe for a scene, and he needed to see it before the scene actually happened so that, you know, he could approve of it. And he would have like a producer or somebody like that with him, and he would tell them this, and these women, because they wanted to be stars, they wanted, you know, they were starlets, and they'd be like, okay. And it had nothing to do with the movie. The scene was not in the movie. He's like on a special level of creeper.
I mean, if I feel like a lot of people would do that if they were given. A lot of weird people out there, man. Especially, and the weird people usually always sexually frustrated. So
yes,
but whenever you take like the Harvey Weinstein, you know, it's kind of like a smaller version of that. Like, yeah, he's a terrible person for doing it. There's a button there. Yeah, it's my hot take on it. But there's a bit of give and take there too. These people sometimes, I mean, they knew what they were doing. It was, I don't know. I don't like the whole opportunistic thing. Like one person comes out and then it becomes, you know, incentivized a lot of, it seems like, you know, like you'll get this amount of money if you say something happened, whether or not, which I don't like anything that disregards like a victim's claims or makes people wary to come forward, but
absolutely.
Where's personal responsibility come into play?
Yeah, he was just, I don't know. He's a weird one. Yeah, I mean, he's a special kind of weird.
Like very tethered to reality.
Perfect example. Tethered to reality.
Really, you know, he's like one of those people that's not famous enough to get out of it.
Who? Seagal? I don't know. He ran to Russia.
Oh, well, so did Snowden.
Who? Snowden? Yeah. So do you think, wait a sec. Do you think that Putin is having dinner with Steven Seagal and they're making fun of Snowden? Like together, like they make fun and like throw things at him?
Here you throw brick at nerd.
Like Steven Seagal's, like the two of them are using him as a throwing dummy for martial arts moves.
I feel like they bring Steven Seagal there as a kind of, you know, a call or, you know, something to just make fun of, like a spectacle. Because Snowden's, he's a smart dude.
Yeah, he's smart, but But he's not trying to come back to the States because he'll go to jail right away. Yeah. He's going to jail.
Hell, you mean like commit suicide by shooting himself in the
head? Right. Yeah. Like he'll commit suicide by shooting himself 3 times in the chest. Yeah. Like, I don't know how he's going to pull it off. It'll be 3 times in his back and it'll be suicide.
England execution.
Hillary, please don't. I know you're not watching this, Hillary, but please don't do anything to me nor my family. Please, I'm sorry.
This woman, I've been married to her for 50 years. There's the living hell out of me.
but like, see, that's the entire thing I think about is Seagal and Putin are bringing Snowden over, and he's like, they're doing like these Aikido moves on Snowden and just like beating the hell out of this guy. And he's like, I've got secrets. I know things. And Putin's like, it's been too long. I don't have nothing, no use for you. And he's just like tossing him around, picking on him and telling him things like, keep it up and we're going to send you back.
He's trying to just counter him with offers. Like, I'll give you all the CIA agents' MySpace pages and their ICQs. Nobody uses that anymore, Snowden.
What's the other one? I know where all the Napster information is.
I can get you without the virus.
I know what Vine service they use.
I can get you McAfee. Oh, never mind.
Oh, that's so great. That would be perfect. Like, they're just completely harassing the poor guy and picking on him and just abusing the daylights out of him.
You know, I mean, because a special run for mutineers and defectors.
Who else is? Well, didn't Bobby Fischer's over there too?
Chess champion.
And do you think like Bobby Fischer sits there playing chess while all this is going on?
I think that he doesn't have a choice but to play chess in his head at all given times.
Like, I just feel like they just abuse. Like, all these guys are sitting around. Like, Putin collects American defectors like that as like trophies. But they're like, nobody that we really want.
Has Kanye been there?
No, Kanye's not leaving Trump's side. He's all about the Trump.
Well, you know, Kanye, I really didn't like you before I met you, but you're kind of cool.
I just feel like all these defectors are sitting around and just like begging Putin to save them. And he like, do you think he calls them all like every so often and like, you need to like dance for me, monkey, or I'm sending you back to the U.S. And they're like, no, Mr. Putin, please don't.
I'll send you back to the industrialized gulag that is America.
Oh, that's a whole nother subject in and of itself. The industrialized gulag that is like, bro. I'm going to get on my soapbox for half a second because I don't normally. If you don't believe in climate change, we had here in the Albany area almost 10 inches of rain in the month of July. We averaged like 3.
That must have been
Seattle had almost none. And we're on the same parallel.
Well, the axis tilted.
Look, I believe that completely. I say this all the time, that when people are like, oh, this, I think the seasons have shifted.
If you're a flat earther, you can disprove them with one word, and that's seasons.
Yeah, they don't like that. Yeah, that seasons messes with them. Don't do that. That's a whole nother thing. But I mean, legitimately, it's like, I feel like the seasons have shifted to the right. And Patrick, if you're watching right now, brother, I do apologize. I'm not sure what happened with Mr. Kaufman. He was supposed to be here, brother, and I know you were pretty excited, and we advertised it all week long.
But now you're better off. You have Keith.
But Keith was actually – so for those of you who don't know, Keith actually was – a willing, because Keith's been on here so many times, he was like, Murph, I got you. He let me bump him off of today, no problem. He was like, I got you, you're good, because he knew Lloyd was going to come on. And but he was like, look, if something happens, he's not able to make it, let me know. So he was, I guess something happened with Mr. Kaufman. We do wish him all the luck in the world. I hope he's okay and no issues. But I will still promote a little bit of Troma here for a moment. If you haven't seen their stuff, check out Troma.com. They've got a new streaming service. It's $4.99, and it's watch.troma.com, where you can catch like all the different Troma movies, all the things they have streaming. They have short films, all kinds of stuff, a lot of independent stuff on there. And you can actually order stuff from them also at TromaDirect.com. So I hope Lloyd's good. I hope nothing happened. I hope he's all right. And that's all that went down. But Keith is an amazing dude. We can actually watch him die of cancer right now as he lights the cigarette. I'm not saying them.
Quit smoking. Take a real man to stare death in the face and be like, all right.
I stare it in the face every time I buy a pack. Well, I mean, I got nothing to say. I started smoking when I was 12 years old and didn't stop till I was like 35.
Is it good for your bones? Like,
well, it's, you know, it's stunning my growth, but I didn't want to buy bigger clothes.
Right. I mean, at that point, just being a frugal clothes buyer.
You know, and Tim Sokol jumping on, we haven't seen Tim in a while. He says, holy shit, is it possible that you've gotten more handsome since the last time I've seen you? I don't know. Maybe it's the shirt. For those of y'all that can't see this shirt is glorious. It is a nice blue ocean with some pink flamingos on it. Make sure you take the time. And look, folks, for everybody who's watching and everything, big favor. Get back to your gig. Hey, Tim, before you get back to your gig, please tell all your people at the poker night that you're doing right now, the ladies' poker night, to go onto their iTunes, go onto their phones, and they need to like and five star the Above the Bar podcast and the Cross Examination podcast.
On everything,
make sure. What's that? Yes,
my podcast, which is on everything apparently, but iTunes.
But I can't find it on iTunes. But make sure, Tim, you tell them to get on there. Nate wants to chime in. Nate, the only person that's been drinking is you every time that we go into a fantasy draft and I see your lineup. You're the only person I know that with your first two picks, you take a kicker. I don't understand that at all. No one needs that many kickers on their team. Matter of fact, they think we should actually make a rule this year that the first pick for everyone has to be a kicker so that we all get in line with Nathan.
I dated a kicker once.
What?
Yeah. Two of them, actually. The other high school in my town, they had two girls soccer players that were, they switched in and out as kicker, and I dated both of them.
Did they know that they were dating you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's where Stockholm Syndrome gets kind of iffy. Like, do they want to be at their own free will? Is it at their own volition, you know?
Look, don't, folks, as Nathan's sitting here going, and look, Tim, hold on, before I pick on Nathan again. Tim, you're absolutely right. Keith is holding up his end. Got to appreciate my brother. We are podcasters for life. Podcaster for life. Stockholm Syndrome for life. We're stuck on this one. And damn straight, you are the man. Love and miss listening live from Tim. And don't believe Nathan. Nathan takes a kicker every time. And it's always like, for some reason, he's always asking, is big head Gary Anderson still available? That guy hasn't played in the NFL in like over a decade at least. I don't understand the guy at all. You know, he was like, oh, big head Gary Anderson. Love that guy. He hasn't been in the NFL in forever. Do you remember big head Gary Anderson? Did you watch football back then? Dude, this guy's helmet had to be like, he was an extra special monstrous helmet because his head was so big.
Dana White's head, like, you've seen little.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's like, I think that's hydroencephalitis due to cocaine use.
Well, I think that no, Dana White's head is steroids. That's steroids, bro.
Well, maybe there's a beautiful combination. There's an argument made for that. You know, maybe it's the unicorn of, you know, drug cocktails. With HGH and just the right amount of cocaine could give you a huge, huge head.
Well, I figured like, yeah, so Dana White's whole deal, and I don't blame him. Look, if I spent my entire day around monsters that could like physically kick the shit out of you at any given moment, and you're trying to negotiate deals with them.
Yeah, just emasculate you.
Like they're looking at you like, do you understand? I can kick through a cinder block wall, you know, with my baby toe. Like,
oh man, my baby toe is useless. It couldn't kick through a wet paper bag.
Right. Like, so it's like this amazing thing. Like, I don't blame him one bit. Like, one bit for that.
For you. You know, I mean, you got a whole army of ones that'll watch your back for you.
Well, look, he's still signing the checks. Don't get it twisted. Look, I ain't gonna lie to you, Nathan. My head might fit into Big Head Gary Anderson's. I mean, but this is a lot of face. That's why I gotta have a beard.
Oh,
like, Jeanette's on to it. Synchronized diving is on right now, folks.
I thought that there weren't any. Wow. I think diving was just when I thought that the Winter Olympics were the only sport for. Never mind. Shut up. That's for the after show.
What? I don't even know what you're talking about at this point. But now is there any Olympic sport like you just can't wait to watch? Do you care about the Olympics? Let's talk about this for a second.
No.
Not at all?
Not a bit. I don't mean not to be like anti-culture or anything like that or whatever, but it's just like Winter Olympics pretty much is which rich white kid wins a medal that year in whatever event they play in. And then the Summer Olympics is just, I don't know, runners getting disqualified for smoking weed and being surprised.
Well, that one, that's a whole nother subject. The fact that she got disqualified for that, whereas
she's an athlete and she's got herself to this pinnacle, this like achievement where she stands to gain so much, and she's probably got herself a little bit more popular by smoking weed because I know. But you know, if you don't have discipline to do that, to not smoke, whether you got bad news or not, then I mean that doesn't set a good for everybody else that's coming before you or I mean after you. If you can get away with breaking the rules because you're the best, then I mean, what good are having the rules anyway then?
But do you think it really, I mean, it's not performance enhancing.
You're right. I mean, it's an arbitrary rule, but it's still a rule.
But if it's not performance enhancing, does it matter?
Well, there's an argument to be made for weed's effect on how you can, like how your body heals itself after a workout too, because it's supposed to help with the lactic acid buildup and whatnot. But I mean, it's not performance enhancing by any means. I don't think it, if anything, it probably slowed me down. But you know, people are different.
We don't want you to slow down, Keith. You'll go backwards.
I would. I mean, and the world would probably be a better place. I would actually know my superpower. I mean, oh, shoot. What is that? Yeah, it was like a year. 2020 was really the year of hindsight because I can see everything behind me in 2020.
Whoa. Yes. And that, like, see, what you guys are hearing right now is the same exact conversations that Keith and I just have when we just send each other messages. Keith does not text. He only sends actual voice messages.
Use my thumbs?
Like, he's like, he just hits the record button, sends me a message. I listen to it, and that's normally when my wife goes, are you talking to Keith? Nope, I'm listening to him. I'm listening to him at this moment. And I agree with Nate. If it's not performance enhancing, it shouldn't matter. The NBA took it off the list. They're like, it doesn't matter. I think baseball took it off.
Oh, sorry.
I think baseball took it off. Like, they don't care about it anymore.
They definitely, and you know, line for a tune-up or you know, revamping of the rules. But while they're still the rules, I mean, and this is against everything that I would expect myself to say. Like, I wouldn't believe that I would be the person sitting here and making a case against marijuana because I've been treating it like it was legal since I was 13. And I don't know.
But, you know, whenever it comes to stuff like that and, like, the sanctity of it, I guess, if you really want your rules to have any sanctity to them whatsoever, are you supposed to just do it on a case-by-case basis, or are you supposed to hold that up every time?
Well, I'm saying why have it as a rule?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's ignorant. But.
And I don't know, Nate. I would imagine the NFL would be next on the list to drop it. I mean, but the NFL wants to – like, the NFL's weird when it comes to stuff like this. So the NFL – is the most of all the made, you know, your four major sports, if you want to count hockey, you know,
looked like it was designed for cats to play.
What? What was
sports? Is there any one of them that looks like it wasn't like initially designed for cats to play?
I don't know. I've never given that any thought. I would have to give that some thought. But the NFL, for being the most violent of all of them, I mean, if you really think about it. That's a car crash, you know, a low-speed car crash every 45 seconds.
Incentivize CTEs.
Right. Incentivize CTEs, low-speed car crash every 45 seconds. But they want to portray themselves as the most clean-cut of all the sports.
Yeah, I mean, we don't let them take steroids, but we turn a blind eye to spousal abuse here at the NFL.
You know, spousal abuse. There was the guy who paid off the family after he drunkenly ran over or DUI killed somebody. It's all there in the NFL, which is
things with money.
But I will give them this. Over the years, they have gotten better in the NFL about making sure that these young guys now have life coaches. That's a requirement for these guys now.
Well, it should be. I mean, can you imagine the audacity of having just being realistically like, okay, to an 18-year-old, hand them $20 million and be like, be responsible.
Right. You're 22 years old, 23 years old. You sign a X amount of millions of dollars of contracts. You have an agent who now comes to you and says, hey, we got you this deal with whatever, either local company or major contract with some apparel company. And by the way, here's these checks that will never stop, and we need you to be responsible. And by the way, you came from, at best, a middle-class upbringing?
Yeah, lower middle-class, most of them, to, like, lower class. Yeah, all of them poverty-stricken, mostly.
So, you know,
I have no idea what microeconomics, anything like that is.
Oh, yeah, no, there was not... You were, look, I got a friend that I served with in the Marine Corps who was a college wrestler, and he got privileges like you wouldn't believe. He explained it to me. He's like, I didn't go to classes. I had private tutors that walked around with us. They did helped do our work for us so that we could, you know, be there on the wrestling team. And he wasn't, we're not talking an Olympic wrestler. We're not talking, you know, a guy who was, you know, winning state championships in wrestling.
Just kind of above average.
Yeah, he was, I mean, he was good enough to be a Division I college wrestler. He was a New York State champion. Great dude. Good person, good father. I know, you know, we talk probably a couple times a year, but he's like, Murph, they gave us every bell, whistle, and privilege that you could ever imagine for us to be on these teams. He's like, you can't even begin to grasp the concept of what they gave us.
Basketball.
Right. You know, it was definitely one of those things. But we're going to get ready here, Keith. We're going to put a bow on this one. We're a little over an hour, and you and I will probably keep talking. What's that?
That's what I said. That's a pretty package then.
It is a pretty package. The wrapping paper is nothing but Keith without a shirt on, all coiffed up. It's all quaffed up. Well, that's what I was saying, Nathan, is that treatment that they get in college. And that's why I'm completely okay with these guys getting paid. You know, I'm so okay with them getting paid. I'm so okay with them being able to use their own likenesses to get paid. I get it that, you know, maybe this person can't use the college itself or can't use that element of it because they don't have that kind of a deal signed.
Well, if the alumni or who
Oh, the alumni. You got to watch the movie Johnny Dangerously. No, not Johnny Dangerously. What the, was it? Where he was the football player and the girlfriend doesn't want him to go to all these different schools and he travels all around. Either watch that or Blue Chip. And it tells it all.
Blue Chip's
the one with Shaq. You never saw Blue Chip?
That was like The Blind Side, where Sandra Bullock plays the same character Sandra Bullock has played in every movie for the last 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one that made her. Blue Chip is like, it's all about the basketball program. I can't think of, I can see his face that played the coach, but it's all about basketball and these amazing basketball players, but they're all like high school players that go to this one college, and the coach doesn't like the fact that this is going on, but knows it needs to happen, and the players start getting handed gifts and money. And they end up, you know, when it's all said and done, spoiler alert, the movie's over 20 years old. They get caught and it ruins a lot of their college careers. But in the reality of it is this is how things go down in college.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
I mean, they're making millions and tens of millions to hundreds of millions of dollars for these colleges a year. So, I mean, if for them not to be compensated and, I mean, that's crazy. That's almost like forced labor.
Did I lose you?
Oh, can you hear me?
I was playing with buttons, and I think I lost you.
I'm here.
You're there?
Yep.
All right. I lost you for a second. I'm still here.
Don't forget about me.
Hello, brother. We're going to put a bow on this thing. Tell everyone all the amazing places where they can find Keith Burr. Shit, bird.
Man, not bird shit. No, this is eagle. Done. I mean,
the eagle has landed.
Oh, that's it. Nope, not getting into that. You can find me on everything. Keith Burr, Cross Examination Podcast. I don't believe in promoting myself. Feels gross.
You promote yourself. That's the idea. Check out Cross Examination Podcast, folks. I'll tell you, I laugh at it. That doesn't say much, but I laugh at most things. But it's definitely worth it. Paul. We'll have to see if we can get Paul to come on here with Keith. He is definitely hilarious. Oh, wait a sec. Cody jumped on real quick. Eagles are great spirit animals. Hi, Cody. We have to get you out to one of these link-ups here that we're doing there, Cody, also. But we have to figure out, have you ever done one of those spirit? See, I want to end this, but then people ask questions.
You're terrible. Goodbyes anyway. It's okay.
Have you ever done a spirit animal test, or do you think you have a spirit animal?
I feel like that's about as accurate as a horoscope.
But do you think, like, either way, we all have horrible scopes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a whore, depending on which scope you look at me through, but it's, I don't know. It's like, yeah, if I wanted to make up something, I'd say I'm a dragon, you know, because that's what I say when people ask me my sign. And they're like, that's not real. I'm like, neither are the rest of them.
Well, actually, it is real if you do the Chinese calendar, because I'm a dragon, 76.
I'm monkeying on that one. I mean, I'm a delightful little
thing. I can see you. You're monkeying around.
Yeah, just
a monkey. I don't know if I have a spirit animal. I have to do one of those spirit animal tests, see if I have a spirit animal.
Koala.
Cody, tell me what my spirit animal is. Maybe Cody can tell me what my spirit animal is.
Koala.
What? Jeanette says her spirit animal is a capybara. Like, I'm going to have to Google that.
The largest rodent, I believe, in the world.
Oh, that's what that one is? Is that the largest rodent in the world, the capybara?
I think. I'm not positive. It's been a while since I've checked on my zoology.
All right, so let's see who can Google it faster and send me a picture, but I think I can come up with a cappy.
Like a beaver without the beaver tail.
Yeah, it's like, holy crap. It is. It's a giant cavy rodent native to South America. Jeanette, why in hell would this be your spirit animal? I know. And then
no.
Cody says, I know I have one each lifetime. Each lifetime.
I believe in that. I mean,
Wait a sec. How can you not believe in spirit animals or any of those things, but believe in an afterlife and reincarnation?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
They all tie in together.
Well, yeah, but what do you think? We can go on to this forever if you want.
Well, that's what ends up happening with most of our conversations. We go to get off the phone or something like that, and this is what it turns into. This is an actual real conversation, folks. Hey, in what South American country is it? Peru. They eat guinea pigs. Just keep that in mind. That's like an actual meal.
That's like perpetual energy machine then.
What is?
If you eat, what'd you say?
Guinea pigs.
Yeah, yeah. They all guinea pigs do is bang and reproduce and crap. I mean, if you could live off of just eating guinea pigs, you have a self-replenishing supply of food forever. We just solved world hunger.
You solved world hunger. Hold on, Cody. Have you been to Peru? Like, tell me if you've been to Peru. I have a friend from Peru. I know Nick isn't watching right now, but if he was watching, you'd have to tell me. So you're saying like guinea pigs run around like rabbits in Peru? I'm having a good time, Nate. I was going to jump off, but I'm having a good time. And Rob, if you've actually eaten a guinea pig, please tell me, because I will stop by the house and we will talk. We are definitely going to talk. And she says she feels like my spirit animal would be the badger. If it's a honey badger, I'm so down with this. They're like
a honey badger inside her.
What?
Every woman has a honey badger inside her. Oh no!
That's absolutely.
Wolverine. Sorry.
Wolverine. Well, the honey badger. Like, who's winning that fight? The Wolverine or the honey badger?
Nobody wins a fight with a woman.
No, I'm not talking about a woman, you jackass.
Oh. Donkeys against them. I gotta say, I take either one of them.
That's a pretty stout fight. Who wins?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty equally matched, you know, same weight class, same size, just about equal matchup, you know.
Neither one of them are scared of bears,
huh?
Neither one of them are scared of bears.
Oh, I thought you said they're tiny bears. And I was like, that's
perfect. They are kind of tiny bears, but neither one of them are scared of bears.
They got that, you know, tiny bear syndrome, yeah.
Honey badger will go right into a bee's nest and just devour that thing like it's nobody's business.
DGAF. They will get right up in there. It's almost like they've evolved to do it.
Jeanette says, a honey badger is vicious, but a British badger would invite you over for a cup of tea. Is that a thing? Is there a thing called a British badger?
It's just a badger with manners.
It's a badger with manners that comes by and goes, chip, chip, cheerio there, folks. We're going to go ahead. Come on over. We'll have a cup of tea, a little bit of honey inside of it. We'll have us a grand old time.
Chip, chip.
Go, chip, go. Chip, cheerio. That would be amazing. And Jeanette says the spirit animal meaning for badger. See what they say if it's intuition is on point tonight. I'll have to look it up because we'll have to see, but. That would be so great. I definitely need to find out. Is there somebody? Please tell me if there is a such thing as a British badger. That's so great.
If you have a badger in Britain, it's by default a British badger. If it was born in Britain, if it was the royal badges.
So let's see. This says. Badger symbolism, and when the badger is your spirit animal, it's time to make big advancements. Badger as a totem animal belongs truly patient and resourceful souls. Invoke badger as your power animal when you need help being ferocious.
Are there ever any negative connotations attached to these things, or it all just
there's gotta be
reinforcement?
There's got to be something negative for all these animals. Like this animal just sucks. He just sucks. If this is your spirit animal, you suck. Generally, you suck.
Koala is your spirit animal. All you do is lay around eating, like getting high all day and having chlamydia. Yeah. like that. I mean, I can see that. Okay. I believe in it now.
It could be a thing. It could be real.
You sold me.
Sold me on the whole idea too. Now I got to go figure out. The entire piece here. All right, Keith, again, Where are they finding you at? We're going to make this happen before somebody else kicks out something and you and I go on for another 15, 20 minutes. Where?
You can find me on all the major streaming platforms except for the major, major one of Apple Podcasts. And I'll fix that tonight.
I don't know about you in that. And Cody's back again. There doesn't need to be a negative because it's always mirroring for something for you to grow and learn. Yeah, Keith.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're Cody. Positive reinforcement your whole life and you're met with some negative comments at one point in time, you're going to not know how to deal with it. So,
but doesn't that make things worse, though, if you're always given positive reinforcement? Doesn't that make it worse?
Yeah, I mean, that's how you get these people that get, like, someone tell them no and they lose their mind.
Like, that used to be the worst when I was recruiting for the Marine Corps. The entitled kid was fine. The entitled kid probably had a parent that treated him like shit at soccer practice and the dad that was like, you swing like a bitch and at baseball and you need to hit harder. That kid all the time. The kid that when he smiled, his heart slowed down because it was too much activity for his brain all at once. That kid.
Bubble gum, that guy.
Right. Like he thought he could stare at his toenails and make them grow. That kid was told his whole life he could be anything he wants when he grows up.
Yeah.
And would come in my office. This is real, Keith. I promise you. I will give you two very real stories. That kid would come in my office and on the practice test. Now, the practice test would tell us you would get about anywhere between 5 points plus or minus, depending on the person, on the real ASVAB. Mm-hmm. That kid would come in and cut a 31. And I'd be like, well, man, you know, we could work on it, you know, study this. I'm like, well, what job fields are you thinking about? Well, I would like to be in Intel, maybe an astronaut, work on helicopters. Like, he would come in with the wildest shit. And I'd be like, bud, we'll see what the test holds. I mean, let's not hold our breath, you know. You should have options.
MOS? Yeah, it was supposed to be fission analyst. A fission analyst?
I don't even know what that is.
Collateral damage, like, you know, reduction pretty much, like logistics with bombs.
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is. That sounds like some Air Force shit.
It is, yeah. What branch are you going to go to?
But hold on, it gets better. I had a kid really happen come in my office, bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering, very, very intelligent, cut a 99. You can't get any higher on the ASVAB, a 99 over some ridiculous number. And he's like,
I'll text you, mom.
Yeah, like this ridiculous number. And he turns around and I'm like, bro, you could do anything you want, you're golden. And he's like, yeah, I want to be a grunt. I'm like, no, seriously, man, you could do anything you want. He's like, I want to be a grunt. And he's like, what? I'm like, you sure? He's like, yeah, no, and he went and did it. So Jeanette just sent me a picture. It says, the American Badger has got a shank and is waiting for you in the dark alley so he can rob you and spend the money on methamphetamines.
Now, then Cody, down the road, he'll steal from you and then help you look for it.
Look at this. This is so great.
Adorable things.
Just adorable. He's got a shack waiting for you. Oh, that's so great. Step, great. I love it.
Keep stabs.
Oh, that's so awesome. All right, so we know we can find Keith at his new podcast, which I want him to keep doing. It is phenomenal. I enjoy it. Someday he'll let me come on there and talk to him.
We've had some big people.
He's got like some kind of like semi-famous rap star coming on soon or something like that.
Oh, well, we had him on the other day, but I'm not publishing the episode because he was at a barbecue the whole damn time.
Oh, the whole time he was at a barbecue while he's talking to you? That's so great. That's even better.
Well, and on that episode, I had Hulk Hogan's private investigator, and it was just a mess.
Hulk Hogan's PI was on there.
Yeah, from the divorce.
Oh, please, Keith, you got to send these folks over to me. I need to talk to these people also.
You would like him. His name's Ted Camp.
You got to put me in contact with these folks.
I took over Wendy's in Tampa, Florida to do a podcast with him.
Oh, that's so great. You'll have to send me their contact. I'll introduce you to Lloyd Kaufman.
All these famous folk. Yeah, I mean, I'll rub shoulders about anybody.
But make sure you tune in next week. So we've got Doug Dreyer coming back on. He's our collector. He's the gentleman who actually like baseball memorabilia. He actually had a piece of the artwork from Egypt when the guy who found Tutankhamun's tomb, his original artwork that the guy did to kind of like say, hey, this is what Tutankhamun's tomb looks like. He had that artwork.
Seriously. Wow. That's crazy.
Right. And he actually had it twice. He sold it once. And then the guy who he sold it to, if I remember the story right, the guy he sold it to someone else who ended up needed to sell the stuff for some money, and he bought it back.
But
these guys are on that collect, like how you collect one hitters. Guys are on that other level of collecting, like way. So we got Doug coming in next week. He was on before. You've probably been on the show the most amount of times, but Doug's coming back on, and we're going to talk about collecting, get into some different stuff. NYCC is coming up here in a couple of months. See what I should be going to and what stuff I should be picking up there. We got Doug on Wednesday, but next week the bar's packed, brother. Friday, we got all the ladies coming in. For the drag show, we've got Amanda Love, Frida Munch on, Cam. Sharon, I think Cam. What's that?
The Sharon Needles.
I don't think we're Sharon Needles, but there was one that I never got to meet. Her name was I'm a trailer park or something like that. I have to ask Amanda what that one's name was, but they're actually going to be the first people to ever sit at the bar with me.
Oh, it's like the inaugural sitting, the first sitting.
I like it even better. Maybe that's what we'll call the episode, is the inaugural sitting.
I mean, what else? That's the perfect name for it. I mean, I'm not saying I should be a brander or anything, but I should be a brander.
A brander. I think that's not a term. But it'll be the inaugural sitting. And then the day after that, this is the first time I've done three shows in 1 week. I don't know if I can handle it all. Dave Dwiddle, I'm probably pronouncing Dave's last name wrong. He was a professional wrestling referee for years, back when it was still circuits and all that, like Gorilla Monsoon, the King Harley Race, all those kind of guys. He was a wrestler, and we've got the inductions coming up here in Albany for the International Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. And he's going to come on, and he's going to talk to us about what those days were like, what it was like to referee those matches. I'm curious about, you know, what he did as a referee when he could tell that guys kind of like really didn't care for each other that much.
Yeah. How do you manage egos?
There you go. How do you manage egos when, you know, you get a guy like, what was the guy? Gorgeous George?
Gorgeous, yeah, Boy George or whatever.
Something like that. You get a guy like that where he was all ego and he's going up against a Gorilla Monsoon. Like, how do you manage those egos?
Okay, Floyd Mayweather.
Right.
Floyd.
Pretty boy Floyd. But we got him coming on. So next week is a packed week. If you're enjoying this, folks, as always, make sure you check us out on Instagram @ Above the Bar Podcast. Our Twitter is @ Above the Bar 4. If you got any comments, you want to send me an email, it's the Above the Bar Podcast at gmail.com. Whatever platform you're listening on, folks, do us a great big favor. It's always the most important thing. If you've been listening for a while, I hope that you've done it. I hope that Jeanette and Cody have done it. I'll just put them on the spot. Go on to your Apple Podcast or go on to whatever you're listening to this on. Take a moment, give us a 5-star rating, share it away, both of our shows. That's how other people know about it. That's how I can quit my day job and just wear really nifty shirts like this and sit around my house and my wife asks me, what the hell am I doing for a living? Keith. I'm talking to Keith, damn it. It's a whole nother thing. Just talking to Keith. God.
You know, just shooting it.
Shooting a shit with Keith. As you know, brother, stick around after this is all over. You get the final word, brother.
Oh, it was awesome. I'm terrible at goodbyes. But if you want to see anything of mine, I have a bunch of stuff on my Instagram. That's my main platform that I use. It's KeithBird.comedy. Pretty cut and dry. You know, I'm a pretty dry guy, you know. I ain't gonna make much flavor to me. Like unseasoned lettuce over here.
Unseasoned. Have you ever had killed lettuce?
It's not good. Yeah, it's
I love it.
I love mustard greens. I make mustard greens really well.
My Aunt Hattie used to make killed lettuce. Oh, so amazing. Yeah, with the bacon grease.
Yeah, oh, bacon grease is the second best seasoning besides hunger.
Killed lettuce, bacon grease. All right. Anything else, Keith?
No, that's all, man. Thanks for letting me come on and help you with the show.
Thank you for saving my ass. All righty, folks, be sure to push your stool in.
This has been an Earplug Podcast presentation. Found on earplugpodcast.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, and wherever your favorite podcasts are found.